Okay, today's daf is Nida Daf Nun. We left off on Daf Memtes and Beis. We're at the Mishnah at the very bottom of the page on Daf Memtes and Beis. So we're in the middle of the series of Mishnayos of where if you have A, you can't have A without B, but you can have B without A. So we're going to discuss the relationship between being a kasher dayan and a kasher aid. And the Gemara is going to talk about a summa ba'achas me'enav. If someone is blind in one eye and whether he's allowed to serve as a dayan, then the next Mishnah is going to compare Maestros and Tumas Ochlin. Then the Mishnah after that, a line later, is going to compare Peya and Maestros, that which is Chayiv and Peya, and that which is Chayiv and Maestros. And on the basis, Gemara is going to get into a real Taharu Sugya, that at what stage you need Machshava to make something susceptible to Tumah as a food, and specifically when it comes to the Tumas Ochlin status of an Avelas of Tahar. Does an Avelas of Tahar automatically have a status of Tumas Ochlin, or do we say no, that it requires a machshava for achila, and what would qualify as a machshava for achila? So that's the what's going to be covered on today's daf. Today's shiur is once again sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children, and we thank him very much for these sponsorships. Let's pick up at the Mishnah on the bottom of daf, Memtes Amud Beis. So says Mishnah, Kala kasha ladum kasha lehayud. Anyone who's kasher to be a dayan in Dine Mamunis is also kasher to be an aid in Beis Din, but but in the reverse, it's not so. Sometimes you have a person who's kosher to be an aid, but he is not kosher to be a dayan. So the Gemara explains, who are we coming to say is possible to be a dayan, but is kosher to be an aid? What kind of person would fit that description? Some Rabbi Yochanan lasuye suma ba'achas me'enav, to tell us about someone who's blind in one eye. That someone who's blind in one eye is kosher to be an aid, but is not kosher to be a dayan. If he's a summa b'shtei einav, so the Rishonim point out, Rashi points out, he's possible for eidus as well, because the Torah says, as far as eidus, o ra'ah, so he has to see. So the Aruch Hanor explains that we learn that he's possible to be made even on that which he saw before he went blind. But after he goes blind, you don't need a pasuk to tell me that he's not allowed to be made. Obviously, he can't be made. He can't see. He can only be made on that which you saw. But even if he did see, but now he's blind, he would be possible to be made. So this is dafka about a summa ba'achas me'enav umani. And which shita in Tanaim is this assuming like that a summa ba'achas me'enav is kosher to be an aid, but possible to be a dayan? Rabbi Meir, it's assuming like Rabbi Meir. Detanya heira Meir omer mat hamalomar ral. What does the pasuk teach me when it says that based on the Kohanim we should judge every riv, every dine mamunus argument that comes up between two people, and also every negat saras, whether negat saras is tamei or tahar? Those are two totally different topics, rivim and negaim, the dine mamunus cases and saras. What does one have to do with the other? Why would they be mentioned one right next to the other? They're totally separate topics. By Negayim, you need a Kohen Dafka. By Dina Mamanis, so Yisrael is kosher to be a Dayan. And by Dina Mamanis, you need to be a Chacham and a Baki and all the Dinim. By Negayim, even a Kohen Amaret could paskin a Tumor Tara based on a Chacham Yisrael who tells him what to say. That's a Mishnah Maseches Negayim. If you have a Kohen who doesn't know anything about Negayim, he could still declare a Nega Tabe or Tar. He just has a hires a Tamil Chacham Yisrael to stand next to him and tell him what to say, because the whole hakpada is that it be yotze mipi hakohen. And even though we find in a lot of places that the psukim mention these two things together, ben din ledin, ben nega lenega, but the Bryce is asking because from lashon the pasuk va'al pihem yekol rivikol nega sounds like it's dafka al pihem shel kohanim that we're going to deal with dine mamnus. But that's not true. That's not how we paskin. We assume that anyone, even a non-Kohen, is allowed to be done Dine Mamunus. So why are they mentioned together? Makish Rivim L'Negoyim, to tell me that there's a hackish between Rivim and Negoyim, between Dine Mamunus and Negate Saras. Ma Negoyim Bayom Dechsev Ubiyom Herosbo Af Rivim Bayom, that just like Negoyim are during the day, because it says Biyom Herosbo, so to Rivim Dine Mamunus can only be done Bayom. You're not allowed to do Dine Mamunus, you're not allowed to judge Dine Mamunus cases Balayla. Uma Negoyim Shalo Besuma, and a further ramification of this hekesh is that just like Negoyim cannot be handled by a blind person, even if he's only blind in one eye, d'chsiv, because the pasuk says l'chol mara einei kohen. So we darshan that a kohen who doesn't have full sight is possible from seeing the goyim. Afrivim shelo besuma. So too, someone who's suma ba'achas me'enav is not allowed to judge a dinei mamonis case. So sounds like the drash is from l'chol mara, that you need kol mara einav, and if he doesn't see with one of his eyes, so then it's not kol mara einav. In some of the achronim, the Toras Chaim and others, they say it's from lashon einei, which is rabim. So you need shtei einav. So the Aruch Haner says the fact that Rashi doesn't say that way, even though it's more pashut, is because by Negoyim it says from that for pasuk we learn to be Ma'ir Kohen Shekeya Ma'or Einav, whose eyes have grown dim or weak, and a Kohen who has weak eyes is both eyes are equal. So Einay wouldn't give it to you, it would have to be Kolmara in a coin, that he has like perfect 20/20 vision, that he has Kolamara, that he has all the full ability to see. That's why Rashi makes the drasha from the word Lekol. He thinks the Gemara is making the drasha from the word Lekol and not just from the word Einei. So Makish Negoyim L'Rivim, and furthermore, Umakish Negoyim L'Rivim, we link Negoyim to Rivim in the following way. Mar Rivim Shelo B'Krovim Af Negoyim Shelo B'Krovim. Just like a Karov is possible to be a Dayan in Dinei Mamonos cases, so too when it comes to Negayim, a Karov is possible to paskin on someone's Nega. So says Gemara, okay, if you're going to learn this Hekish between the two, Ima Rivim Bishlosha, Af Negayim Bishlosha, how far will we take this Hekish? Should we say that in order to paskin on Negayim, you should need three Dayanim just like you do for Dinim Amunis? Meaning we already derived three Halachos, that it can't be Bayom, that you can't do Negayim Bayom just like you can't, that you can't do Dinim Amunis Bayom just like you can't do Negayim Bayom, that you can't do Dinim Amunis with a Suma Ba'achas Me'enav, and that you can't do Negayim with Krovim. So how much further should we go? Should we say that they both require three Dayanim? V'dinu, Mamonu B'Shlosho, Gufo L'Kolshkein. If to deal with the person's money, you require three Dayanim, to deal with the person's body, which is more important to him than his money, you should for sure need three Dayanim. So Tamalomar V'huva L'Aron HaKohen O.L. Achad mi banav hakohanim. So halamad shafilu kohen echad roes anegayim. The pasuk is mefurash that it's echad, that you only need one of the kohanim. So in a chinami you have this hekish, but more powerful than the hekish is a mefurash pasuk that says that you only need one. And the Aruch Haner points out it's dafka from the yisur of the word echad. It's not just from the fact that it says al Aron HaKohen, and Aron HaKohen is only one person, because you would have thought that maybe the singling out Aron HaKohen is singling out someone who's a mumcha l'rabim, he's able to do nega alone, just like you have such a din by dinei mamonos, that a mumcha l'rabim is able to be dan dinei mamonos alone. So if it only said Aron HaKohen, I would have said, yeah, it's exactly like dinei mamonos, that you normally need three, but if you have someone who's a mumcha l'rabim, then a great expert could be dan yichidi. But other kohanim would require three. So that's why I said, no, o elachad bibanav hakohanim, that any single kohen can see a nega. He doesn't need to be the world's greatest expert on negayim in order to see a nega alone. So that's how I know not to apply that hekish. So now we apply this machlokas, Ramei and the Chabim, whether suma ba'achas me'enav is kasher to be a dayan. So it says, there was a case of a blind person who presumably was blind in one eye. David Shavuse, Rabbi Yochanan Dava Kadayan Dina, who was in the neighborhood of Rabbi Yochanan, and he used to dan Dina in mamonos cases, and Rabbi Yochanan didn't say anything to him. The Maram writes that from Rashi, it sounds like he holds like Tosfos, that according to the Rabbanan, even a Suma B'Shtei Einav is allowed to be dan Dina in mamonos. And he says that just like the Tana of the Mishnah Sanhedrin doesn't hold of the Hekesh to Rivim in the Goyim as far as Laila, as far as Suma Bachas Meinav, so too by Laila. Because if you reject the Hekesh, you reject the Hekesh entirely. And then even a Suma is allowed to be done, even a total Suma is allowed to be done. Dinim Amnes cases. So an aide in a chinami, he can't be an aide because he can't see, but maybe to be a dayan, he's allowed to be. So anyway, so he had the Summa in Rabbi Yochanan's neighborhood that was being done Dinim Amnes cases. So ask Gemara, Hechi Avadachi, how did Rabbi Yochanan not say anything to him that it's not okay? Va'amar Rabbi Yochanan, halacha, kestam mishnah. Doesn't Rabbi Yochanan generally hold that we follow a stam mishnah? So even though granted it's a machlokas whether a Summa is allowed to be a dayan or not, but the stam mishnah says that he's not allowed to be. So shouldn't we pass him that way? It's not kala kashal adam kashal ed v'yesh kashal ed v'yem kashal adam our stam mishnah v'amrina lasuyemei. And we said, what is the case that our mishnah is teaching me about where you can be an aid but cannot be a dayan? So Rabbi Yochanan himself understood that our Mishnah is talking about a Suma Bachas Me'enav is possible to be a Dayan. So it's a Stam Mishnah that he's not allowed to be a Dayan. So how could Rabbi Yochanan not make a Macha'a when he sees that there's a Suma that's being a Dayan? He should have told him that it's not okay. So says Gemara, you're right, Rabbi Yochanan passes like a Stam Mishnah, and you're right, Rabbi Yochanan thinks our Stam Mishnah says that a Suma is not allowed to be a Dayan, but Rabbi Yochanan Stamach Rina Ashkach. But he also had another Stam Mishnah that seems to go like the Chachamim, that are Matir Asuma Ba'achs Me'enav to be Dan Dinim Amnes, and he holds that we paskin like that Stam Mishnah and not like our Stam Mishnah. Where's that Stam Mishnah? The Tanan, you have a Mishnah in Meseches Sanhedrin. Dinim Amnes Dan Bayom, V'gomrin Balayla, that you're allowed to be Dan Dinim Amnes Bayom, you have to do a Dafka Bayom, but if you began the case Bayom, you're allowed to do the Gemar Din Balayla. For the fact that we allow the Gemar Din Balayla according to that Mishnah, you see that you don't hold this Hekesh between Rivim and Negoim. Because Reb Meir, who holds this Hekesh between Rivim and Negoim, holds that Dinim Amnes can only be Bayom, even the Gemar Din would have to be Bayom. It would not be enough to do the Gemar Din, but to do the Tchilas Din Bayom and the Gemar Din Balayla. So Hu Adin, when it comes to a Suma Ba'achas Me'enav, who's to kosher to be done, Dina Mamnus, according to that Mishnah, because you don't have a Hekesh to tell me that he's not kosher to be done, Dina Mamnus. So since that Mishnah is also Stam Mishnah, Rabbi Yochanan could pass on like that Stam Mishnah, that a Suma Ba'achas Me'enav is kosher to be done, Dina Mamnus. And we see that he must have passed on like that Stam Mishnah, because he didn't object to this fellow, to this blind fellow that was serving as a dayan. The Rif and Rashi and Sanhedrin, you know, there's a machlokas how to understand this idea. Dinim Mamnes Dan Biyom V'Gomrin Balayla. So Rashi over here says that if you're going to say that you could be Gomer Balayla, it shows that you don't hold of the Hekesh. And once you don't hold the Hekesh, you don't hold the Hekesh when it comes to Suma Bachas Me'enav either. Rashi Masech Sanhedrin says differently. He says, no, it's the very halacha of not being Dan Belayla or being Dan Belayla, that's the same halacha as Suma Ba'achas Me'enav. Because Laila, you don't have full Ra'os Einav. You don't have the full ability to see at Laila, because it's dark at Laila. It's not that we're saying, oh, conceptually, the basis of the halacha is a Hekesh. So just like the halacha of Laila is based on a Hekesh, so the halacha of the Suma is also based on that same Hekesh. So you either accept the Hekesh or you reject the Hekesh, the underlying principle that causes the halacha. No, in Rashi, Misach Sanhedrin, and the Rif, they understand that it's the same halacha. It's not about the basis of the halacha. The halacha is about the ability to see. So just like one's ability to see is limited at night, a Suma Bachas Me'enav is also limited in his sight. So anyway, so says Gemara, my only the high stama, my high stama. So Rabbi Yochanan essentially had two Stam Mishnayas. He had a Stam Mishnah here, Misach Nida, that says that a Suma Bachas Me'enav is not allowed to be a Dayan, and the Stam Mishnah, Misach Sanhedrin, that says that the Suma Bachas Me'enav is allowed to be a Dayan. How did he know the Paschal like the Stam Mishnah, Misach Sanhedrin, not the Stam Mishnah, in Meseches Nida? So it says, there are two possibilities. Iba Yisema Stam Adarabim Adif. It could be that a Mishnah that's mentioned Stam, in as if it were a Das Rabim, is a stronger Mishnah, as opposed to a Mishnah that's like a Das Yachid. And since our Mishnah is going like the Sheet of Rabbi Meir, who's a Yachid, and the Mishnah in Sanhedrin is going like the Sheet of the Chachamim, which is a Rabim, he'll Paschal like the Stam Mishnah that reflects the Sheet of the Rabim, and not the Stam Mishnah that reflects the Shita of the Yachid. So that could be one deciding factor. Or it could be that we always consider it more reliable when it's on topic. Meaning in Maseches Nida, what in the world does any of this have to do with Nida? It's just totally tangential. We were talking about sometimes when A can exist without B, and B can exist without A, because you have the Simani Elyon and the Simani Tachton of a girl as she's developing, so that same model of A versus B, and B versus A. So we're going through all of Shas, we're taking a tour through Shas, where you have such similar ideas. But that's not the topic of our Masechta, so we're not really holding in that Inyan over here. In Maseches Sanhedrin, we're talking about the Halachos of being a Dayan, so that's the core topic over there. So when it's the core topic that we're supposed to be discussing, that's going to be the more authoritative of the two Mishnayos. This is a relevant topic la'alacha. There's, as far as a Summa, there's a tshuva in the Sefer Torah Chaim, the tshuva's Torah Chaim, where he quotes the Shoel was talking about a certain city where there were three kihilos in the same city, and one of the kihilos had a very chashva Talmud Chacham as the Rav and the Dayan, the Moritz Tzedek, and he went blind. And they didn't want to fire him. They thought there was no one like him. He was really wonderful. But any time they had any sort of dinamominous issue with somebody else, so from another kihila, from one of the other kihilos in the city, so imagine you have a kihila of, I don't know, chasidim and yakas and litvax and I don't know, whatever, in the same city. So the yakas hadayin went blind, and they still wanted to use him. So every time the chasidim would have a dinamominous case with the yakka, they would say, we're not going to your dayan, he's blind, he's puzzled, so you have to come to our dayan. So he discusses the makar of the psul suma that it says in our sugya, that kol kasher ladan kasher lev yesh kasher lev einu kasher ladan, and it's a suma ba'achas me'enav, and it's all based on this hekish to negayim. So the Gemara brings this maisa of this dayan where Rabbi Yochanan didn't say anything because he had a stam mishnah that went against Rabbi Meir, and he passed like that stam mishnah. So he quotes that there's a machlokes rishonim. How far did Rabbi Yochanan go to be machshir suma? Is he machshir suma even a suma b'shteyenav, or is he only machshir suma ba'achas me'enav? That's a machlokes rishonim. So he says the muchsak, who is the nitva, could say that kimli, that generally we have this concept in Dinim Aminus, that when you have a machlokas, the one who is muchsak in the item can say, if there's a shita that says that I'm right, Kimli, like that shita, I hold like that shita. So over here, if the nitva is from the community who has the blind dayan, he could say kimli that dayan is kasher, like those who showed him that a blind dayan is kasher, and therefore you have to go to my dayan. And then he quotes from the Marash Dam. Marash Dam writes, you know, Chazal tells us in Masechta Sota that a person is not allowed to be a dayan until he's 40 years old. So the Marash Dam writes, yeah, that's only bizmanehem, where all the horaos were based on svara and based on their own judgment calls. But nowadays, all the Piskei Halacha are from Svarim. It's just a matter of reading up what it says in the Svarim and finding the right Svarim. So if he's a Talmud Chacham, Sheigia La'ra, that knows how to balance all of the information. A lot of times the information is not enough. Anyone could Google things, and you can find a lot of information, but it's a matter of knowing how to balance the information, how to assess the information, and knowing what we paskin like, what we don't paskin like, and what makes sense, what doesn't. So if he's a Sheigia La'ra, so then even if he's not yet 40 years old, he could be a Dayan. So maybe you could say the same thing when it comes to a suma, that all these halachos of what can and cannot be a dayan, that's only when it was all on the dayan's shoulders. But when it's relying on svarim, so then maybe it would be different. So the author of Torah Chaim says that that's not correct. That svara is not correct. Because he says, first of all, the Marash Dam may be incorrect entirely, meaning it could be that a 40-year-old, even someone who's not yet 40, maybe even a Tzorba Merabaman, maybe even now should not be a Dayan. Maybe Marash Dam is wrong about that. But even if he's right, you can't compare the two halachas. As far as the Talmud that's not yet 40 years old, it could be that it's Dafka Bizman HaGemara, where they were Dan Balpeh, based on their own assessments. So he said you need to be 40 years old to have a certain Yishav HaDayan. hadas, and he shouldn't take upon himself that srara to be mora al pidato until he's that age. But bismanenu, there's no such great srara because he's relying on svarim. But when it comes to the summa b'shteinov, where he's not able to see at all, according to those who pasul, hold that it has a din of laila, right? No one would say that nowadays you're allowed to be dan b'laila because we use svarim. That has nothing to do with it. It's a technicality of din and din and mamonis. There's nothing to do with how good a job he's going to do or how much confidence we're putting into the dayan. It's just technicality in Hilchos Dayanos that you're not allowed to do it b'laila. So he said if the din of Suma is similar to the din of a Laila, then it's not going to make a difference. Bizman Azeh. Okay, next Mishnah. So again, comparing two things to each other. Kol shechayiv b'maiser, metami tumas ochlin. Any food that's enough of food to be chayiv in maisros is also enough of food to have tumas ochlin. Because that which is not food is not going to be chayiv in maisros. So if something is chayiv in maisros, then for sure, dinim of tumas ochlin apply to it as well. The Arachnar raises the question, really, is that always true? What about food that's not hukshar lekabel tuma yet? If it's never become hukshar lekabel tuma, hasn't come in contact with one of the zayin mashkim, so then it doesn't have a din of tumas ochlin, yet it does have a din of maisros. So he says, with the obvious answer, that it does have a din, that min has a din of tumas ochlin. It just has a technicality that it needs to first become hukshar lekabel tuma. We're talking about the min over here, that any type of food is that's chayiv in maisros is a type of food that would be metami tumas ochlin. But yesha metami tumas ochlin veinu chayiv maisros. But as far as the reverse is concerned, sometimes you have foods that are metami tumas ochlin, they have a din of a food, but for some reason they're not chayiv in maisros. So says Mar la suyamai, what is a din of a food, but yet would not be chayiv in maisros? Says Mar, very easy. The things that don't grow from the ground. Let's see, basar, v'dagim, v'beitzim, right? Meat and fish and eggs, all of these things are food, so they're makabel tumas ochlin, but they're not chayiv maisus because they're not gidula min haaretz, and maisus are only knowing on that which is gidula min haaretz. Rashba raises the question, are you sure that basar is not chayiv maisus? Basar is just another way of saying behema, and there is a whole category of maisur called maisur behema. So he quotes a girsa of Rabbeinu Chananel who doesn't have the word basar over here, he has the word chaya, and that's miyashiv the kasha, because maisur behema is not knowing b'chaya. The Mishnah says Maseches Bechoros, so he says that's the correct girsa. The Ritva says, no, even if you have the girsa of basar, it could just be referring to basar chaya, meaning not basar behema. So the same idea, just you don't have to change the girsa for it. The Meiri says that some don't have the girsa of basar at all, not basar, not chaya, they just have dagmu beitzim, right? And dagmu beitzim are for sure not chayiv and maestros whatsoever. Some of the other Rishonim understand that no, maestro behema is knowing while the animal's alive, and it doesn't have a shame ochel until after it's shechted. The Mishnah's talking about lachar shchita, when it already has a shame ochel. Once it has a shame ochel, there's no longer a chiyuv of maestro behema, so it's a totally separate thing, this din of maestro behema. Why did the Rashba and Ritva not like that teretz? So they bring it up, but they point out that the Gemara later on in tomorrow's daf is going to tell us that the Mishnah's talking about minim that have these halachos. The minim that have these halachos, and even when because of technical reasons, these halachos don't apply. Just like we just said, as far as that which is not hukshal lekabel tuma. Yeah, that which is not hukshal lekabel tuma is not mekabel tuma sochlin. Yeah, but yes, it is. It's mekabel tuma sochlin. It's just a technicality. It didn't yet have the hechsher. So the Rashba and the Rishon say you can say the same thing as far as the basar is concerned. That basar is chayiv in maisros. It's just a technicality that it's only chayiv in maisros while it's alive and not while it's dead. And that's why the Rashba and the Ritva didn't accept that answer. Okay, but that's what the Mishnah is coming to tell us. That basar, dagim, and beitzim, even though they have a status of tumas ochlin, they do not have a status of chiyuv of meiser. So that's Tosfos. So there is a a discussion that Tosos raises the question that, wait a second, there are more issues over, there are more examples over here that that Tosos says, what about Tavlin? Tavlin is chayiv and meiser and is not metame tumas olchin. You want to tell me everything that's chayiv and meiser is metame tumas olchin? Spices are not metame tumas olchin, but they're chayiv and meiser. So Tosos says that there are two types of Tavlin. There's Tavlin that's only roughly to be used as tavlin, to add flavor to a food. Such a tavlin is not an ochel, it's not metame tumas ochlin, nor is it chayvin maestros. But then there's tavlin that's right to eat on its own as well. You could eat it on its own as well, but you could also use it as a spice. You could also use it as something to flavor food, like onions or garlic or something like that. It adds flavor to a food, but it itself is also a food. Such tavlin is considered an ochel. It's chayiv and meiser, and it's a metame tumas ochlin, right? It's everything. It has all the status of ochlin. So so what gives something the status of an ochel is if you eat it on its own. But if its entire achila is only bederech nesinas tam to another meichel, then it's not going to be considered an ochel. Some of the achronim suggest maybe you can say the same thing as far as schita on Shabbos. That according to Shitas Rashi, that to squeeze out a juice on Shabbos is only usher when the juice is something that you would use as a juice, not just as something that would flavor a food, but as a juice itself. You'd squeeze an orange because you want orange juice, but do you squeeze a lemon because you want lemon juice, or do you squeeze a lemon because lemon juice flavors food, but you wouldn't drink lemon juice straight? You would never. So he says maybe it's not considered a mashke as far as schita is concerned. When it comes to schita, based on this idea of Tosos, that if it's only meant to flavor something else, that means it doesn't have the full status of a food. That's relevant because there's a Tshuvas HaRash that seems to suggest or tries to be miyashev minag that they have in certain communities to make lemonade essentially on Shabbos, that they would squeeze lemon juice into water and then add sugar. So one of the yeshuvim that the poskim suggests for such a minag was that because lemon juice is not really a mashke, and if it's not really a mashke, there's no isra of schita on it. But the poskim recommend, the Chayyadim says, there's a simple eitzah. You could squeeze the lemon juice onto the sugar, because you're allowed to do schita onto food, directly onto food where it will get absorbed in the food. You just can't do it into a liquid. So don't squeeze the lemon into the water. Squeeze the lemon onto the sugar, and then mix the sugar with the water, so there's a way around it. Anyway, that's what they recommend. If someone wants to put lemon in their tea, that they could squeeze the lemon onto the sugar, and then put the sugar into the tea. Anyway, so that's related to that Tosos. Says the Mishnah, kol shechayv bepeyah chayv b'maisos. Anything that's chayv in peyah is chayv in maisos as well. Yesh chayv b'maisos vein chayv bepeyah. But sometimes you have things that are chayv in maisos, but they're not chayv in peyah. You don't have to leave a corner of that field for aniyim. So lasuyemai, what is that coming to tell me? Meaning, what sort of min is chayv in maisos but not in peyah? Lasuyei te'ena v'yarak she'enu chayv bepeyah. Figs and vegetables are not chayv in peyah, but they are chayv in maisos. Ditnan, because the Mishnah lays out the criteria for each chiyuv. Klal amu bepeya. The rule by peya is what's chayiv in peya. It has to have the following qualifications. Kol shu ochel, it has to be something that's edible, it's a food. Vinishmar, it has to be something that you are not mafkir, that you would protect it if you have a field that's growing this produce. Vigidulo min aretz, it has to be something that grows from the ground. Ulikitaso ke'echad, it needs to be something that there's a harvesting time where you harvest all of it. It's not you pick a little bit today, a little bit next week, a little bit after. Umachnisa lekiyum, it has to be something that you can store away for an extended period of time. It doesn't get ruined immediately, it doesn't rot right away. So if it has those five qualities, then chayiv bepeya, then it's going to be chayiv in peya. So what do each of these qualities mean? So ochel means lemute, sviche, stim, vekotza. That means to exclude that which grows from these seeds that land in the ground, from stim and kotza, which are types of plants that are used for dyeing, and they're not used for food. Vinishmar lemute hefker. Nishmar means it has to be something that you wouldn't be mafker, that you would actually protect. Vigidulim in the aretz lemute kameim pitrios. That means to exclude things like mushrooms that can just grow in moisture, but they can grow on anything. They can grow on your carpet if your carpet is moist enough. You know, it doesn't need to be, it's not nourished from the ground itself. It's nourished from the air, not from the ground. Ulikitaso ke'echad lemute te'ena. And ulikitaso ke'echad is coming to tell me not like a te'ena tree, because a te'ena tree, you pick the figs at different times. It's not all at the same time that one is malaket te'enim. Umachniso lekiyim lemute yarak. Umachniso lekiyim as opposed to yirakos, because yirakos go bad very quickly. As opposed to like grain will stay for a long time, but yirakos will go bad very quickly. So only if you have all of those five qualifications is something you're going to be chayiv in peya. The Ritva writes that when we say that the te'ena, it's lmutei te'ena, when it's not lekitaso, because te'ena is not lekitaso ka'achas, it's not only te'ena, there are lots of trees that are like that. We mentioned te'ena because that's the most common of such trees. And that's what the Tosfos Masechta Shabbos writes as well. And the Mishnah Masechta Peya says that there are eight types of Elam that are chayiv in Peya. So it sounds like, yeah, well, there are only eight, but all the rest of the Elanos are not likitaso ka'achas, and therefore they're not going to be chayiv in Peya. The Tosos points out over here that Minat Torah only Dagon Tirush V'Yitzar is really chayiv in Peya. Minat Torah only the five grains and grapes and olives are chayiv in Peya. Nothing else. All other minim are only chayiv midrabanan. Why didn't they make a din d'rabbanan? I mean, it's just like maizos. By maizos also, dagon tirush v'yitzar chayv midar rice and maizos. But midrabbanan, we include everything else. Why didn't we make a din d'rabbanan to include te'ena in peya as well, and yirakos in peya as well, just like we were in maizos? So Tos quotes from Ben Tam, because by these peros are not l'kitaso ke'echas, and if it's not l'kitaso ke'echas, the ani won't know when the balabayis is done picking them. So if he waits there till the balabayis is done, he's going to lose out just by waiting. He's going to lose out on a number of other opportunities to be able to find food elsewhere. And by vegetables as well, it's not good for an ani to be looking for vegetables. It's not going to last very long. So if you wait till the balabais finishes, they may have all rotted already, and then he's going to lose out on opportunities to get food. So the Chum saw that for the ani's own interest, we exclude that from payah so that he can invest in his time in things that will yield a better result for him. That's why they didn't even make a din drabanan that which is not lekitaso ka'achas, or that which is not machnisa lekiyum, should be chayiv even midrabanan in peya. But that's the rule as far as peya is concerned. Vilgabe meiser tzanan, when it comes to meiser, the rule is kol shu ochel, it needs to be a food, v'nishmar, v'gidula min aretz. It only has three rules, the first three rules, chayiv meisos. But the last two rules, vilgabe lekitaso ka'achon, machnisa lekiyum, lo katani. As far as maizos are concerned, it doesn't need to be something that has only a single harvest or something that can last a long time. And that's why our Mishnah says that there are certain things that are chayv and maizos, but a pata from peya, like te'enim, which have the first three qualities, but is not lekitas ka'achas, or yirakos, which is not machnisa lekiyim, im ha'ibam shumenu b'tzalin chayavin. So the Gemara explains, if among your yirakos you have some shumenu b'tzalin, you have onions growing, so then it's chayv and peya, because those are niskayim for a long time. Titznan melabnos betzalim bein yarak. If you have rows of onions growing amongst your yarakos, Rabbi Yossi Amar peya mikolachas va'achas, then each row is going to be chayiv in its own peya. V'chom romrim me'achas alakol, that you view it like one large field of onions, and there's one big peya for all of it. But the bottom line is that it's chayiv in peya, meaning the betzalim themselves are chayiv in peya. Good. So now says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Chanan, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Now we're going to get into the status of Tumas Ochlin based on the machshava that you have to treat something as a food. So Olshin, or an endive, is a type of vegetable that could be eaten by people, or it could be animal fodder. It depends what you plan on using it for. So if you have Olshin that you planted originally for animal fodder, but then you decided that you want to use it for, some new recipe came out in a popular recipe book that has endives in it, so now there's a big demand on endives, so when you planted the field, you thought, okay, no one's going to buy this, I'll use this for Meichel Behema. But now it's a hot product, so you decide you want to use it for Meichel Adam, so Trichos Machshava L'Kishayi Tolshu. You need to have Machshava that you want to use it as a food after you detach it from the ground. And only then will it have the status of Tumas Sofen. But having the Makshava, while it's still Mechubar Lekarka, does not give it the status of Tumas Sofen. Kasavar Makshavas Chibur, Lo Shema Makshava. Makshava, while it's Mechubar, is not considered a Makshava. Amar Rav Afan Anami Tanina. We have a Mishnah that supports this. Shlosha Sotvarim Nemru B'Nivla Sof Tar. There are 13 things that are said about a Nivla Sof Tar that dies on its own without a Shechita, and it goes through all the Allah. And one of those halachos that the Gemara decides to bring is tzricha machshava, that you have to have machshava that you want it to be eaten by a person, and then it's tameh to be metameh ochlin mashkim that it touches. Then it will have the status of tumas ochlin. But without machshava that it should be an ochel, then since it's not normal for people to eat a nevelas of tahar, so even though it has, even though it's a nevela, it does not have tumas ochlin and doesn't even have tumas nevela, because nevelas of tahar is only metameh a person who chooses to eat it. Nevelas of tahar is a unique halacha of nevela that it's metameh beis habliya when you eat it, so it has to first be an ochel, then it's tzricha hechsher, but it doesn't need hechsher lekabel tuma, it doesn't need to come into water, and it doesn't need to become tamei from anything else. It's inherently tamei. Alma machshavas chayim lo shma machshava. But apparently you need machshava. The fact that while it was alive you planned on eating it is not good enough for it to be a machshava. So achanami machshavas chibur lo shma machshava. So too by the endives, when it was in the ground, that was not enough of machshava. You need to have a machshava after you detach it from the ground. Rabbi Zeira rejects the raya. He says, no, you know when we say that you have to have machshava after the bird is already dead, that's if you didn't have any access to it while it was alive. It just fell out of midair. It wasn't around while it was alive. If you had it while it was alive and you had machshava that you wanted to use it as an ochel while it was alive, then that would be a perfectly good machshava. What are you going to say about the tarnagolas in Yavna where the Chum paskin that it's tameh because Nachrim had machshava to eat it? How are you going to explain that based on the idea that that you're answering now that you don't need a machshava la'achar misa unless it's an oaf bar, a wild oaf or something that you didn't have access to? A tarnagolas is an oaf that grows amongst people, it's raised amongst people. You could have had a machshava while it's alive, and we still say that no, machshava is needed after it's dead. Some late tarnagol brahava. Who says that tarnagol was a domesticated tarnagol? It could have been a wild tarnagol and we didn't have any access to it. So achikwale, they laughed at him. Tarnagol bra of tamehu. A tarnagol bra is a non-kosher bird. Vov tameh mikametameh. We're not talking about an of tameh. We're talking about nevelas of tahar. Some labai gavarabba amil salot achikwale. A very important rule in life. If a great man says something, you shouldn't laugh at him. Very often, you're just not understanding something. B'tarnagol shemorda umay bra. He didn't mean a min of tarnagol is called the tarnagol bra. What he meant is that it's a tarnagol that happens to have escaped to the wild, but it's a regular tarnagol, a kosher tarnagol. Rav Papa answers differently, that the maisa of the tarnagolus in Yavna was tarnagolto da agma Hawaii. It was the tarnagolus that's called the tarnagolto da agma, that the nekevos of that min are tahar, and therefore it had the din of a tarnagolus to be metame, that it had a din of a nevelas of tar to be metame one who eats it. But since it didn't grow up amongst, it wasn't raised amongst people, it needs machshava to be mekabel tumah. It needs machshava after it's dead. Rav Papa l'tamei, and this is Rav Papa who says that it's talking about a tarnagolta da'agma is l'shita so. Da'am Rav Papa, tarnagol da'agma, aser, tarnagolta da'agma shari. Rav Papa makes the distinction that the male tarnagol da'agma is aser ba'achila, it doesn't have simani tara. But the female tarnagolta da agma is mutter. V'simanaych, and the way to remember that the female is good and the male is no good is amoni v'lo amonis, that you have such a parallel in the human world that an amoni man is not allowed to marry into the Jewish people, but an amonis is allowed to marry into the Jewish people. Darsh mareimer tarnagolta da agma asira. A tarnagolta Da'agma is asr ba'achila, because of the fact that they were matir is because they assumed that it didn't have simanim of a non-kosher bird, but that was only a hava mina. Chazir rabban the dorsa va'achla hainu gerusa. So they saw that it's dores, and dores is one of the simanim of a tame bird, of a non-kosher bird, and that's what's called the gerusa, which is an of tame, which is explicitly stated in Maseches Chulin. Tan rabban goes al shnafal gas. We have a brayso. If a bird falls into your wine press, where you have the vat of wine that has just been pressed, and you have in mind you're going to take the bird out so you could feed it to a kuti, so you want to use it for human food, so tame, so now it has tumas ochlin. Lekelev, if you plan on using it for a dog, tahar. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri Omer, af lekelev tame, even lekelev is considered machshava sachila because you plan on using it for a dog. But Rabbi Yochanan holds that in the veil of tahar doesn't need machshava lachilas adam, it's tame without any machshava whatsoever. So everyone would agree that planning on giving it to a dog is not called machshava sachila. It's just that Rabbi Yochanan says that you don't need machshava sachila, and that's why even planning on giving it to a dog is good enough. So I'm Rabbi Yochanan, kal v'chomer. In metami tuma chamura, if it could be metami tuma chamura, it could have a din of tumas nevela, shalo b'machshava, without machshava that it should be l'tzorach achila sa'adam. So lo yitami tuma kala, shalo b'machshava, meaning by definition, it's tami tumas nevela. The guy didn't even realize he was eating nevela. And it's enough to be metame as nevela, so for sure it should be able to be metame tumas ochlin shalom b'machshava. So Be'ez Hashem will continue that conversation between Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri and the Chachamim tomorrow.